Well, good morning, friends. It is time for Friday with Jim. And coincidentally enough, my name is Jim, and I'm your host here at Coast Community Radio. Engineering today by Kate Brister. Kate, thank you very much for running the board over there. And I'm excited and actually humbled to have two wonderful guests here from the Astoria Visual Arts community. And we're going to talk about arts in Astoria and some various events that are coming up. I've got Rebecca Rubens and Lisa Smith with me. I would just as an interjection point out that Lisa is the person who instituted the show Friday with Jim. And she talked me into doing this years ago down at the little restaurant that no longer exists. But anyway, Rebecca, Lisa, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim, for having us.
I'd like to start out, just tell me a little bit about yourself. Start with Rebecca.
Thanks. Well, I'm not going to do the whole entire history, but I was born in Astoria, and I wanted to say that my experience with art, I went to Fort Stevens Junior High School, which doesn't exist anymore, and my art teacher was the part-time coach, and he basically taught me how to make a papier-mâché pig, and that was almost my sole art experience growing up in Astoria.
Well, that might come in handy.
Yeah, that really did come in handy. But I was living in this area, and I went away to school. I went to Portland State University and got degrees in psychology and public health administration, and was working as a counselor for many years. I worked at Tongue Point and also in Portland, and then was always doing some kind of artwork, and decided that my life was slipping away and I wanted to go back to school, and which I did. I went to Pacific Northwest College of Art for a while and then transferred to New York and worked at Studio Art Center International and also SVA, and graduated from New York University in 1989.
Cool. And Lisa Smith.
Hi, everybody. I'm the vice president of Astoria Visual Arts Board of Directors, and Rebecca is the president, which is why we're here to talk about AVA and its storied background and its, we hope, storied future. But about me, there's not really that much to say. Speaking of NYU, which Rebecca graduated from, I work for NYU in Abu Dhabi. I work from here, though, which is great. Occasionally I go over to the Middle East, but I have a great job. It's part-time, so it gives me time to work on all things art-related. It's really nice for you to have us here today.
My pleasure. Rebecca?
Yes.
What is art?
What is art? Thank you, Jim, for that nice, hard question. We could be here all day talking about what art is. But I have to say, everyone has their own personal definition of what art is. Art for me is kind of an expression of life. It's something, and this is one thing I always repeat, and I probably repeat this too much, and everyone gets tired of me saying this, but I think creative expression is one of the, driving forces of life. And I think it's something that everyone needs to have access to, an opportunity to experience. And so part of the reason that I'm involved with Astoria Visual Arts is to help create opportunities for other people living in the community to express themselves. I do think that creative expression is a basic human need and needs to be supported as such. It might not be right up there with, food and shelter, but it's a very strong drive to be able to express yourself creatively.
Well, you know what they say, that earth without art is get that? E-A-H-E-A-R-T-H.
I haven't heard that before,
yeah,
but I like it. But art, when I start thinking about art, I also think about, being able to transcend some of the real pain in life. I mean, life is a lot about pain. Inevitably, everyone experiences pain. And art, especially great art, as an audience, when you experience something that's wonderful, it helps you transcend that. And especially music, Jim, you know that as a musician. Music is the best to help you transcend. It's really great.
Well, music is another art.
It is another art.
We're talking about visual arts here today.
Yeah. Not so much, although we are Astoria Visual Arts. We have expanded our mission to include literary arts, performing arts, and we're hoping to grow into this. We'll have to change formally change our mission, but we've been working on a strategic plan on the board, and part of our planning is to broaden our focus. So it's we won't just focus on the visual arts. I think that that's an important point.
Now, Elisa, we've got some events coming up in the next few days featuring art. Maybe you could tell our listeners about some of them.
Rebecca does programming more than I do, so maybe she could talk about what's coming up on the horizon.
You can talk about the fundraising, and I want to talk about
okay, perfect.
Some of the programming. Actually, this weekend we do have Astoria Visual Arts has always been involved in having an annual membership exhibition, and we've just continued that again. And coming up tomorrow, we have an opening with Artport. We try to collaborate with as many community groups as possible, and Artport is a gallery in Ilwaco, and we will have over 35 artists displaying their work during the Saturday Ilwaco market from 1 to 5. So please, if you're out and about and want to come out, come over there and enjoy some Saturday market and also view the art at Artport. Other programs that we do relating to art, Astoria has what we call Art in Astoria. It's a online directory featuring many of the creative people working in the area. So anyone can go online and become a part of this directory or post something about art in Astoria. So the fundraising, we have a fundraiser coming up at the end of the month.
We do, but before I talk about membership and fundraising, I think if we talk more about our programs, people might be inspired to go to our website and become a member. We have an artist-in-residence program, which has been very successful. Sorry, I've got a lozenge in my mouth because I have a sore throat and a cough. We provide AVA, and through its dues, membership dues, provides a studio space free of charge to emerging regional artists. And we have sponsorship from local businesses. I'd like to just do a shout-out to Albatross, the Astoria Coffee House and Bistro, the Astoria Co-op, City Lumber, Dots and Doodles, and Fort George Brewery for helping support the artists in this in the residency program. We've got a new program coming up. It's just been launched, and it's a collaboration with Recology, and it's another residency that is now open to proposals from artists. And how would you describe it?
It's open. It's like a competition, actually. Artists apply, and they go through a jurying process. And after they're juried in, two artists will be selected to participate in a residency. They'll receive free studio space plus a $400 a month stipend.
Right, but what's key is that they must make the art out of recycled materials.
Material.
I think it's 85%, a minimum of 85% of the materials.
85% of recycled materials.
It's a great project, and it's a three-month-long residency for two artists, and Recology is footing the bill on this and also providing all of the recyclables. And they do this in San Francisco, which is a very successful program down there.
Well, we're really excited to be included in this program with Recology because they're already connected with programs in San Francisco, Seattle, and Portland. So every year they have ongoing programs, and you can check out their website to see some of the work. They fortunately get to draw from a very large pool of artists, but I am very confident that here we have so many wonderful producing artists that we'll get a great group.
I think so too. Art in Astoria, in addition to being an online directory that connected to our website, we have Art in Astoria on Facebook. So if you're interested in finding out what's going on in the art world around here, and when we talk about the greater Astoria area, we're talking about both sides of the river, all the way down to Tillamook, all the way up into Wakayakum and Pacific Counties, well, South Pacific County. At any rate, go to Facebook, Art in Astoria, and join up. Because it's very interesting to and it's it's really easy to figure out what's going on in town vis-a-vis the art world. We are also, we're the sponsoring agency for OBON 2015, which is a humanitarian project which helps veterans and their families return mementos from World War II in the Pacific to Japanese families. These are these beautiful flags that are called, I don't know the Japanese for them. I wish
you just threw that at me and I just automatically went out of my brain, but it, Kinomara is the last one.
Yes.
Yagasaki?
And they're actually at the Maritime...
I'm so sorry, Rex and Keiko, please forgive me.
The Maritime Museum has a display of them, which we're suggesting that you go and see because it's wonderful. And then we also, this year, will be doing the Astoria Open Studio Tour, which is in July. It's the
end of July, the last weekend in July.
Is it the third weekend in July or the last?
The last week.
That's kind of a cool one. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, we took it... We
that's where you take people end up. Actual artists.
Into actual studios.
Working environments for the artists, right? And this year we have over 47 artists participating. So it's expanded. And we actually have a team leader, Annie Eskelin, who has been one of our artists in residence. She is now the leader for this year's Open Studio Tour. It's really a great event, and I hope that if there are artists out there who still want to participate, you can, if you don't have a studio per se in Astoria, you can ask to share a studio, and it's possible that they will be able to help find a studio space for you to share. It's really a terrific event.
It is, and it'll be fun. And the city of Astoria has historically supported it, and we're hoping that the city will support it with a small grant this year also, which will really be helpful. We also have something called the Miss B. Johnson Fund for Young Artists, which seeks to increase exposure of students at Astoria High School to the fine arts. And this was started a few years back by the artists Noel and Pat Thomas, and they gave money to ABA in order to have us funnel it to the school, to the school's art teacher, and who would then use it to take students to Portland, to the museums, to art stores, etc. And we're trying to expand it. We have a grant proposal in to the Oregon Community Foundation right now, which is pending, which would expand it in order to include the Napa High School and also include more artist visits, actual workshops with artists, and galleries and so on. So that there's a linkage between exposure to art as a young person and your future success. The data are in, and it's true. So we're going to try to help expand this really worthy project. I was delighted to learn about it when I came on the board, and it made it one of my pet projects to make it even bigger and expand it to more students. And what else do we have going on? I mean, that's sort of enough right now. Although one thing that's really cool that we're doing is we're working with this Portland-based group called Disjecta Contemporary, which is responsible for the Oregon Biennial. And they invited us and Portland Biennial, sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not the Oregon Biennial?
No, it's the Portland Biennial.
But they're expanding it to Oregon.
Well, they're including
statewide.
Rural areas, but it's not called the Oregon Biennial because the Oregon Biennial was sponsored by the Portland Art Museum and it went by the wayside. And so Disjecta has picked it up and it's now called the Portland Biennial and it will continue.
But I see.
It's a wonderful contemporary arts organization. And we're very fortunate that they're going to be expanding their program in the summer and want to include Astoria, the Dalles, and the Grand in their outreach. And so their program for this summer coming up in July, it'll start July 9th in Portland, and then we'll expand out into the rural areas. We will have three artists in our area, and they'll be up at Clatsop Community College and the Astor Hotel. And Astoria Visual Arts will be involved in docent work, helping to educate people about the work that's there.
You know, I'd like to take just a minute, if you would, to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and we're happy to have you with us. We're visiting with Rebecca Rubens and Lisa Smith, engineered by Kate Brister, and we've got another 15 minutes to talk about art Uh-huh. Now, art implies a certain amount of training and a certain amount of skill. And I know there's another concept of art called outside art.
Outsider art. Yeah, outsider art. People who are basically self-taught. And, when you think about art, when art began, you know, it wasn't called art. It was basically people who were identified in a community that had certain gifts. And those gifts were what they used to express for the community. And self-taught artists have some of that kind of gift and are able to translate their emotions or their visual perceptions into some object or something visual that people in the community appreciate. So outsider art is a very valuable aspect of producing art. But also, you know, developing craftsmanship, going to school to learn a skill. You develop your language that way. You also are going in school because you developed you begin to develop your own self-concept as an individual. And part of that is what you express in your work. So is there any more related to that? Do you want to bring in more about outsider art?
I do, if you wouldn't mind expanding on that.
More about outsider art?
Yes.
About what the gift is that people sometimes have to be able to express or why it's valuable?
You're talking, is this something that's innate within the human consciousness, that some people have this gift and some people don't?
A gift is a gift. I think a gift is something that a person is really fortunate to be able to have. You are given this gift. Now, whether this gift is expressed or whether it's nurtured or whether people have the opportunity to share this gift is the other question.
I've found in my limited experience, I'm not an artist, but I have many friends who are artists, especially many friends here in the region. And I've found that for many of them, it's a compulsion. I mean, they cannot not be artists. I mean, Darren Orange, Robert Paulman, both on our board, Dulcie Taylor on our board, Loretta Maxwell on our board, Jesse Jones on our board, Agnes Field, a.k.a. Rebecca, on our board, all artists, all really have to create. And that's what I find so remarkable and amazing, is that it's just something that is, and you can speak to it as an artist, it's something that's irresistible, an irresistible force. I wish I had it, but I don't, unfortunately.
Well, is there many of a levels biological of imperative then?
Well, I wouldn't call it biological, but it's maybe spiritually and a spiritual imperative or some sort of ineffable force that I...
We talk about creative expression. That's why I say that creative expression is a basic human need. I think people need to express. It is something that's very important. And we can debate this, but you just take a look around you and look at the way people struggle to be able to have that opportunity to express. And people do struggle for the opportunity to create work and to create art. They will sacrifice to have that opportunity, which is an amazing drive.
On a slightly different topic, if I may, I wanted to pull us back to A Story of Visual Arts.
Right.
Which was created, it was founded in 1989, and for 26 years, it's really had an impact on the community. Recently, in the last 2 years, the fiber arts part of AVA split off into its own 501c3, which is a really wonderful new organization. It's not so new in that the people who are involved in it were on the AVA board, and they're phenomenal fiber artists. And we reconstituted the board of AVA in order to expand the number of programs that were available in the community beyond the fiber arts. So that's what we're doing now, and we've gone through the whole list of programs. We hope to, with Disjecta, find a home for ourselves. Right now we have our board meetings at the Lightbox Gallery. Michael Granger is on our board. He runs the fabulous Lightbox Gallery on, where is that? Marine Drive.
Submarine Drive.
And so we he's got a beautiful, beautiful gallery space there, and we have our meetings up in the mezzanine section.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then our studios for our artists in residence program are sort of scattered around town. And what we'd like to do is bring all this together into a kind of arts hub that will also offer exhibition space, studio space, and performance space for people like you who are musicians, people like you, Jim, who are musicians who can come and play. And also will help us to have sort of a conversation, civic engagement with the arts in a way that doesn't exist quite now, although it does very much in Astoria.
And also provide a space, because we all are looking around and seeing how Astoria is changing very, very rapidly, and that the prices in real estate are creeping up. It'd be nice to secure a space for art before it's out of our price range.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to think about where we are now, the Tillicum House, which houses this radio station from which we are broadcasting. And that's a long story how that came about. But you're looking for something similar then, I understand.
Something like that. And this opportunity with Disjecta, if the funding is available, will help us fund programming for 2 years, and we'll help develop the space. So we're hoping that this will work out.
The nuts and bolts of the grant proposal are that Disjecta would get money to secure spaces in these rural communities that would add to the biennial exhibitions, but also would actually be turned over to the local groups, such as ABA in Astoria, to use for a two-year period. And so during that two-year period, we would look to raise sufficient funds to buy the building that we would be housed in. So it's an exciting proposition. We just have to keep our fingers crossed. You know how it is. But
can I say, I just wanted to give a shout out to our really hardworking board of directors. Could I just mention them just briefly, if that's okay with you?
I was going to bring that up here in a minute, so go ahead, Rebecca. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to, besides Lisa and myself, there's Jesse Jones, who is now our working treasurer. Loretta Maxwell is a student at Clatsop Community College, but also our secretary. Michael Granger from Lightbox Gallery. Terry Sun from Imogen Gallery. Ray Merritt, who I just saw stuck his head in
and
he's
then
our
left.
Man about town. And if
isn't he on everybody's board?
If you go to a meeting in Astoria, you're bound to run into Ray. Thank heavens. Robert Pullman, who's a painter and has some work currently up at River Sea Gallery. Dulcie Taylor, who owns Old Town Framing and is also involved in the Downtown Association ADHDA.
And is an artist.
Deborah Armington, who is currently the program chair and also a wonderful patron of the arts in Astoria, and also the fabulous Darren Orange.
Right, the inimitable, fabulous painter and sculptor.
We could talk a little bit about some of the projects that AVA has helped initiate in Astoria,
I think that would help our listeners understand what AVA is all about. We can just have a few minutes left, so let's do that.
We have to talk about fundraising too, though, and membership. So you go first, and then I'll chime in with the membership.
Don't forget the fundraising.
Right.
Well, basically, for part of our history, I mean, we worked with the city of Astoria for the historic Fort Astoria Park and Mural Project, and Roger McKay and Sally LaCaff were very involved in that project.
For those who don't know, where is that?
That's right here on, right up the street. Right by Fort George,
yeah.
Right on the
That's
other
right
side
across
of
the
Fort
street
George.
From here.
It's a wonderful mural that depicts early Native life. We also started the Riverwalk Regional Arts Competition in cooperation with Chadburn and Doss Architects from the Alderbrook Station and artist Ed Carpenter, and that out of that developed the Lunar Phaser Project, which was a Jim Fink sculpture project, a tidal clock that relates to the environment and the river. Ongoing fundraising for that wonderful project is still happening. We initiated the Arts Night Out, which is now the ongoing second Saturday art walk. and now managed by ADHDA. We had the first nonprofit gallery, AVA Gallery in Astoria, which provided exhibition space for many of the artists who are here working, and so on and so forth. It's a lot.
And plans.
Lisa, why don't you talk a little bit about fundraising opportunities?
Thanks, Jim. I will. Well, plans for our future include this creation of a permanent exhibition space and art hub, and also lecture series and other cultural activities. And so we're growing. We would love to have more members, not just for your money, although that would be helpful, but also for your energy. And so if you're interested in joining us, please go to AstoriaVisualArts.org and look at our website. Donations, there's a nice little donate button, but annual memberships start as low as $30 and go up as high as you like. But on again, on May 31st, Tuesday night, 4:30 to 10 p.m. at Fort George Public House, there's a benefit for AVA, and it will go to support our Artist-in-Residence program and also the annual art the annual Open Studio Tour in Astoria. And again, our website is AstoriaVisualArts.org, and we would love it if you aren't a member yet, if you would consider joining us. And we do have an annual meeting
in October, every fall.
But our meetings are open to the public and open to our membership. If you would like to just drop by, they're on the third Thursday of every month upstairs at the Lightbox.
And also, please look for our Artists in Residence Open Studios, which happen every second Saturday of the month. And so we will have those studios open for people to go in and visit our new Artists in Residence.
And we'll put in a final plug for the Artport AVA Invitational, which has its opening tomorrow in the Porterville Waco, which if you haven't been there lately,
it's
tomorrow will be a beautiful day to go. The weather will be terrific. The port is lovely. And it's right down there at the port. There's a new restaurant and hotel there, the Salt Hotel. There's all sorts of young people moving over to the peninsula, which is where I live, which is fabulous. Not that there's anything wrong with us old people, but new blood is always good to have.
Speak for yourself, Lisa.
Okay.
We don't have to go to New York. New York is coming to us.
That's right.
There has been a substantial uptick in the arts activity on the coast. I wonder, we've just got a minute or two to talk about that, but...
Well, we have a theory about it.
That's what I'm interested
in finding
out.
Our theory is that Portland, just as other cities, Portland's real estate has gone sky high. People have been displaced from their artists have been displaced from their studios. And there's been, I think, we've acted as a magnet here on the North Coast, and I include the other side of the river in the North Coast geography, for artists to come out, don't you think? We've got
all sorts
of new people coming to town.
You know, inexpensive studio spaces to be found. It's a wonderful area. It's a little bit slower pace. It's cheaper to live. That's what artists are looking for.
It's epic.
We want, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful here. How can you not resist?
Well, we're old enough to remember when Soho was just a bunch of warehouses and light manufacturing places, and it was a wreck. And now look at it, you know. And we don't really want a story to turn into the West Coast Soho.
Well, we saw that same kind of transition on the North Coast years ago. Cannon Beach
exactly.
was just a funky little village.
Right.
And all of a sudden it became
very
expensive.
Well,
very expensive. I love Cannon Beach, and I'm not going to diss it at all, but I don't want Astoria. We don't need a second one. Astoria has an authenticity and a kind of, you know, a Fisher Poets kind of thing going on where you've got where we meld the arts and commerce, you know,
and working
out there
people.
Exactly.
Working people.
And speaking of working people, here comes Albert. Hi, Albert. He's coming up next, you lucky dogs who are listening to the radio.
Well, you know, it's time to bring this fascinating conversation to a close.
Thanks for having us, Jim.
Well, thanks,
Jim.
It's
been really fun.
It's great to talk about art.
Yeah.
What is art?
What is art?
Did we decide what art is?
We have to go out and talk about this more.
Well,
we need a beer, though.
Let's
go to Fort George.
At the biological origins of art, and we've kind of got sidetracked there. Interesting conversation. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Kate.
Kate, I'd like to invite our listeners to stick around for Albert Smith's always wonderful Friday Folk Show. And until next week, toodaloo.
Ciao.
Bye.
Support for Morning Classics is provided in part by The Daily Astorian and dailyastorian.com, a leading source for news on the North Coast, published 5 days a week in print and every day online. The Daily Astorian covers the communities, people, and events that make this area special.